this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time. Welcome back to Wellness in Dentistry. I am one of your co-hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher, and I'm joined by your other co-host and my very good friend, Dr. Martin Mendelson. Martin is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, thought leader, and author. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. Now, today we're going to talk about how to focus on what you can do and not all the crazy things that are going on in the world, because it's a challenging time to be alive right now for a multitude of reasons. But first, if you would like to spend 2 days with us in person, get 12 CE credits, make sure that you go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on our links, and look for our Lightside Live course. This is our transformational 2-day CE program that we do with doctors from around the world, and we'd love to see you there. So let's get into our topic for today. Martin, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and I have a very itchy nose right now. I don't know why. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. Whether you're talking about political polarity, you know, it's like, I feel like no one's in the middle now. Everyone's either on the left or the right.
Yeah.
You have financial uncertainty. You know, you have Bitcoin going up, then you have it coming down, then you have different leading stocks that are going crazy, going up or down. You have the real estate market that we thought was going to crash at some point, right? It can't keep going up, but it just kind of keeps going up. You have, in the dental world more specifically, things like DSOs really taking over. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a DSO on every corner. Everybody's selling to DSOs. You know, you have the price of dental school going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
How do dental professionals get by in a time like this?
It's a challenge. And, you know, it's very easy to get sucked into the vortex, whatever vortex that is, particularly on social media, because there's so much noise out there. And so, in terms of survival, the first thing I typically do is I try to look at it through a historic lens, if you will. So, you know, I have the benefit of age. I never thought I would say that, but, you know, being in my mid-50s now, I've been through quite a number of things in my adult practice life or life within dentistry. So even going back to 9/11, I was in practice the day 9/11 happened. And so you've got 9/11, you have the economic downturn in 08 through 11, however you want to couch that. You have, of course, COVID-19 and certainly the uncertainty that's happening now. And if you look at dentistry is rather resilient. And you and I were talking before doing a little bit of research. And if you actually look at even what happened in the 08 downturn, that yes, there was a decline in discretionary spending, but there was a marked stability in essential services. There was a stability in insurance plan payments. Not that I'm necessarily, you know, bullish on insurance. While at the same time, there was, you know, a lot of corporate and DSO growth. There was staff reductions, but yet there was opportunity for acquisitions, even for the solo provider. And if you look at the long-term impact, it was challenging and we rebounded, not but, and. And even if you look at that, even if you look at COVID-19, many colleagues had some of the best years of their entire career on the back half of 2020 because
they took 3 months off.
Yeah. I mean, it's just nuts. So I'm not trying to make light of this. What I'm inviting people to do is look at this time in history through a bit of a historic lens. And you can say, well, Martin, this is unprecedented. Well, so was 08 and so was COVID. And so we don't want to discount and we don't want to make light of it, but we do want to put a pin in reality and then talk about how you can actually navigate your days is the idea.
I think the biggest thing that comes up for me, and this has been a constant push of in my life, is thinking about the circle of influence. So Stephen Covey, who wrote, or Covey, I can't remember how it's said. I always say Covey, but that may be wrong.
I think
Is it Covey?
it's
Okay.
Covey. Yeah.
Who wrote this, why can't I think of it? 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's what it's called, right? Yeah. So the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the things he talks about is the circle of influence. And I didn't know about this until just maybe 2 years ago. And what he talks about is you have a circle of concern. And this is everything you're concerned on. This is your health, your work, your the weather, right? Terrorism, the next generation, they don't know what they're talking about. Internet comments, politics, driving skills of other people, global warming, family. I mean, everything you're concerned about, right? And then within that circle is your circle of influence. These are the things that you can actually influence. So, what does that mean? This is like the courses that you take, your habits, how you spend your free time, where you work, what you buy, who you vote for example, right? These are things that you can influence. And so it changes the mindset of reactive language to proactive language. So this is something you taught me before too, which is like, he or she makes me so mad. And if we can change that to what can I control, it is I control my own feelings, right?
100%.
Or I have to do that versus I will choose an effective response. These are totally different. I must versus I prefer, if only, or I will. And when you go deeper down this circle of influence, so you have the circle of concern, that is everything. You have the circle of influence, which is what you can actually control. But within that circle of influence is the circle of control. That's things like taking responsibility, your thoughts, which I know we're going to talk about with your team framework, your mental health practices, your communication skills, your effort, your outlook. And I know that you and I have heard this stuff all the time. And now, especially with this topic, these are things we hear, like nobody wants to do elective treatment because of the economy, or the practice isn't developing me enough. I'm not getting to learn the specialty procedures I want. I know this is one that you always got at Spear, right? My small town doesn't have people who want to do comprehensive treatment. And so I really would encourage everybody to focus on what you can control, focus on what you can influence. And after that, kind of forget about the rest, which I know is very challenging because it may be things that you're very concerned about. But if you can't change them,
Well, and if you can't change them and you feel ill-equipped at this time, let's take certain elements of practice. For example, you said something that made me remember something that I forgot to mention, which is this. You said, you control the courses you took. And so let's look at this through a historical lens again. Spear Education opened in 2008. When Dr. Spear joined as a business partner and it changed over from the Scottsdale Center for Dentistry. What happened in 08? Well, we all know the answer to that. Spear Education grew very dramatically in the following, 5 to 10 years. And particularly in that time and right after they opened. Why? Well, I joined the firm in 2011, and I remember so many conversations with dentists who follow what we're kind of talking about here, who literally said, I had more time in the downturn, so I took advantage of that to be able to diversify my services, to be able to understand, and this is huge, how to phase treatment. So that the discussion doesn't have to be all or nothing. Oh, I can't afford that right now. It can be, okay, here's the overarching plan. Since things are challenging now, why don't we talk about phasing so that we could do it over time? Oh, you can do that? Sure. And so it is very much all about diversification. I mean, you talk about this in your diversification, your identity diversification strategy. I think it transposed those words. But the whole thing about diversifying your personality, your identity, and this is the same thing with dental practice. There's lots of different things that we can offer. And you know, when you look at history, talk about essential services, and so many people are like, well, I got to provide more specialty services now to keep yourself afloat. Do you? Because those may or may not be the essential things that people are looking to do. And so I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, but I'm just challenging you from a thought process perspective, looking at time, effort, you know, profit per hour, expense per hour, all those kind of things.
Now, I know that there's a quote from MTS Manji, who ran Spirit Education for a long time, that you told me about. Tell me that.
He used to say this all the time, and you know, quite frequently when I just joined the firm in 11, you know, you can choose to participate in the world economy or your practice economy. And I think that's amazing, and it goes to mindset, because it is all about, okay, am I going to focus on the fact that the world's coming to an end, or am I going to focus, like we talked about in COVID, the fact that in the first half of 2020, even the 3 quarters of 2020, I'm flat. Well, flat is up because of what's going on in the world economy. So we can choose what it is we select to focus on to help us either stay in panic or stay, to the best of our ability, neutral. Now, that's not to say we're not going to have difficult days. You know, we talked earlier today. I had a bit of a challenge on Saturday, and I made some decisions about how my diet of social media is now going to change. And so there are certain decisions you'll need to make about how you participate or not participate in the world economy versus your practice economy. But it all starts with the stuff that goes on between your ears, period.
And really, really quickly, with your discussion on social media, I think the most important part is that you had self-awareness
Correct.
to realize I'm not feeling so good right now, or something's
Correct.
I'm having anxiety, or I'm nervous about this, or But you had that self-awareness to then say, okay, let's go back and look. Oh, I've really just kind of been scrolling, and I've been seeing a ton of stuff that's negative, and that's really affecting me, and I'm not able to show up to my family or my friends, or I'm not feeling great. I want to go to bed early. What can I do? But you are focusing to change something that you can control,
And
which is what?
so
How you use social media, how you think about it, right? And it's such a great example. It's so such a simple example, but it's such a great example.
Well, I'll go one further. Do you know how it started? I didn't share this with you. It started literally with me saying, Martin, you better follow your own teachings. And so, you know, I talk a
I
lot
had that
about
discussion with myself last night.
you know, I follow a lot of the science of optimism. I'm very big on certain theories that are in the literature, one of which is the Bader-Meinhof, or frequency bias. And I talk all the time with dental practices. Are you having morning huddle? I certainly hope so. And are you also including things that went well or things you're looking forward to, versus only focusing on exceptions and potential problems, so that you're more aware of the good stuff? And so the way the social media diet changed for me was, to your point, I had the self-awareness that I was scrolling in the morning, and then I was in a crappy mood the rest of the day, or I was panicked about one thing or another, or I even noticed I was more susceptible to worrying about the negative angle of something because I started my day in a negative stent. So that's the way it started. I'm like, I'm not looking in the morning anymore. Then it moved to, I'm only looking at certain dental Facebook groups. I'm going to continue to post on Instagram, but I'm no longer scrolling. And so I removed the scrolling out of it, and it's helped quite dramatically, even in the last 4 or 5 days or so.
Yeah, that's been helpful for me and for anybody that's listening. And if you do your own social media for your practice or yourself, whatever, choosing to, why can't, my brain just went numb. Choosing what, like, posting something in the future. What is that called? Scheduling, sorry.
Scheduling. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so scheduling a post has
Yeah.
been really helpful for me because generally I post in the morning,
Yep.
and again, you go on there just to post, but then you see a comment or you see
Yeah.
this, and you start going to this, right? And it's like this rabbit hole. But if you can schedule your post, and you don't have to go on
No.
until a certain time, it really can change your mindset. It's been really helpful for me because with me, I have my kids in the morning, so I take my son to school, I take my daughter to the beach or the park, and not having that social media scroll at the beginning of my day has been really helpful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about tips, tricks, and tools. I know we wanted to kind of talk about my team framework, and maybe we
I
can
think we
even.
can go off of that based on what I said, which is your circle of influence, your circle of not your circle of concern, but your circle of control.
Correct.
And one of the things you can control
Correct.
is your thoughts.
And I would go one
People don't think
further.
that's true,
Yeah.
but you can.
I would say you can control your awareness of your thoughts first and then your thoughts second, because it's a journey. We're all where we're supposed to be right now, whether we realize that or not. And we've all gotten to the place we've gotten to because of our thought processes. For some individuals, however, some of these more negative anxiety-ridden thought processes may not be serving us anymore. So the first step, as you teach, is realize that you're having these thoughts. And so we'll go into the team framework in a second, but one of the antidote tools that you can utilize is a very simple question. When you come upon something and you have a negative, I'll call it judgmental thought or assumptive thought, the antidote question is, how true is that? Because oftentimes these thoughts that you're asking, how true is that, are more global in nature, like all patients are insurance minded, or my team, everybody doesn't appreciate me, or I'm the only one that does anything in my family, or my friends don't call. It's like, really? Everybody all the time? How true is that? That's kind of the first step. And I know you've used this too, in your
Yeah, I mean,
own.
I've used this a lot with my children, with my wife. I mean, last night I didn't live between stimulus and the response with my son, and I did kind of snap at him. And I asked my wife, like, was I too hard on him? And she said, yes. And she was right, for sure. I knew I was getting annoyed, but instead of noticing, breathing, choosing how to react, and then acting your one of your frameworks, I didn't. And I just went from stimulus to response, boom. Now, luckily, I was able to have the awareness that that was wrong and was able to apologize to my son before he went to bed, and he was like, "Oh, no big deal, Dad." It's like almost he didn't notice, which made me feel good. But yes, I mean, we all still struggle with this. The thing with your framework, with your team framework, is starting with your thoughts. And that even starts with having the self-awareness. It's like self-awareness is always step zero. And in any changing any problem, especially what we talk about in dentistry, with patients, with team, with family, self-awareness is step zero. And so if you're listening to this, and maybe it's your first time listening to us, just you listening to a podcast that is called Wellness in Dentistry may be the self-awareness that you need. Start yourself on this process. Martin and I have been on this process for years, but we still have days like me yesterday, right? I'm the one teaching live between the stimulus and the response. And Martin and I are doing live courses on it. And guess what? I still snapped at my son yesterday.
Well, but the difference, and you're absolutely right, because happiness is a comparative emotion, and we can't know happiness without sorrow. The difference between anybody that's been on a journey like this and someone who hasn't started yet is depth and distance. You know, they say the difference between a rut and a grave is depth and distance.
Wow, that's great.
And so it's depth and distance, or I would say depth, distance, and time. So I may have had a really rough day Saturday, but I bounced back by Sunday. The old me would have been a mess for, I don't know, a week, you know, 3 days, 4 days, a week and a half. It
Yeah, I
would
mean,
depend
for
on
me,
those.
there were sometimes when I was having challenges with patients wanting their money back, threatening to sue me, blah, blah. It was weeks
Totally.
that I would be affected.
Totally.
And it
Totally.
would affect my diet, and I may even get like have diarrhea because of all the stress, right? The physical stress. I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't be drinking water enough. I would be kind of trying to get away in my house and hide from my family. And I mean, think about how that affects your relationships.
Totally.
So just, and we talked about this in one of our podcasts where it was like, if you think you're at negative 100 in how well you're doing, well, guess what? Going from negative 100 to negative 99 is a big step, right?
Totally. Yeah, totally. And you know, the thing is also, and this is what really got to me on Saturday, which I want to be very open about. It's like, you know, team, I've talked about for many years in either on purpose or by accident, kind of linearly. But it's not linearly. And I've actually edited my book before I went to the publisher to talk about how team is more of a 360 concept. Because my experience on Saturday, when I really was having a rough time, I know other people have experienced where you're just not feeling right. You feel it in your body, wherever that is for you. For me, it's typically in my gut, and it just won't go away. And you just kind of feel it. And then the thoughts keep coming up. And sometimes, you know, it's almost an irrelevant connection that something else happens. And then you're like, well, okay, well, that's fine, but there's no hope because of blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And what the team framework enables you to do in this NBCA concept that you mentioned that I like to define for people who haven't heard it before, is getting you to be aware of it, to pause and come to a different place, right? So NBCA stands for notice, breathe, commit, and then act. Commit has to do with the thought between your ears. Because what happens is when you're in that negative space and you're having trouble getting out of it, then noticing that you're in it, taking a breath, you know, maybe even asking yourself, how true are these thoughts? Commit to a different action and then actually do it. Now, sometimes the action can be not doing something, right? Like if you have a habit that's, you know, not serving you, like eating a bag of potato chips or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So the action would be not doing that, or maybe the action is going for a walk or going to the gym, et cetera. So that you can end up coming out. Because what happens is, if you can envision team as kind of like floating all around you, sometime the awareness is with the emotion. Sometime the awareness is with the action. Like you were talking about, you snap with your son. I'd be willing to bet you, if you had to put it on a timeline, it was the action that caused you to realize it first.
Yes.
See? And so team can go in a whole bunch of different directions, kind of in this 360 degree globe that surrounds us, and the NBCA is what stops the amygdala hijack and stops us from, you know, going too far down the rabbit hole into despair.
Yesterday, I was, having these internal thoughts of like, you're the guy teaching this, Kyle. You need to be better at this. And there were t I did some good things yesterday too. Not only did I, I didn't just snap at my son, but I did some good things yesterday. My wife and I were kind of not having a great day with each other. I feel like she didn't like something I said. I didn't like something she said. It was not a great day to be a married person with either one of us, I think. But I did have the thought of curiosity. And this is something that you've taught me that I have taken everywhere. And I think if more of us led with curiosity instead of blame or shame or something other feeling, this could really help. And so that thought of curiosity is like, oh, I'm wondering why they said it like that, or why they had that tone with me, or why they came into my practice with such a weird attitude, or why they assumed that I was to blame for this. And with dental practitioners, I think the more we can be curious, because we're curious people, right? I mean, we're curious from a scientific standpoint. We want to get better. We're constant lifelong learners. We love to read articles and take CE courses. But if we could be more curious of other people's actions or other people's words, even, I think it'll really, really help us from going down that amygdala hijack, going down that, I don't know, kind of vortex of negativity. Because let's give an example, right? Let's give an example. A patient comes in and they say, you know, I hate the dentist, right? This is the common one. Now we can be immediately offended because that was kind of how I got towards, you know, when I was in my deepest part of burnout, was like, wow, that's a really shitty thing to say. Like, you know that this is what I do. Like, why would you come in and say that? You don't say that to your hairdresser. You don't say that to your plumber. You don't say that to a teacher. You don't say that to your gardener. Like, but you are saying that to me. Now, if we can come at it from the curiosity standpoint, I wonder why this person is saying that to me. Did they have a bad experience? Did they just get a divorce last week, right? Are there is their mom or dad in the hospital? You know, I mean, it doesn't make it okay for them to say that. However, it's a lot easier for you to control your emotions when you're coming at it with curiosity.
And it gives you the opportunity to make a patient for life
So true.
because, you know, how many people answer it in somewhat similar to the following fashion? Oh, okay, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones, so you hate the dentist, all dentists. So I really want to honor you for being here. What about your previous experiences makes you want to tell a dentist you've never met before that you hate them? Put that in your pipe
Yeah.
and smoke it, right?
Right.
So think
I mean,
about it.
I've seen you do this with negative comments on social media before too. I think it's a great way to approach negativity. It's just, why all the hostility?
It's like, where's that coming from?
Yeah. And this again, it's like if we can control our own emotions, there's so much power behind this. So much power.
And you know, there what I always mess up his name. I absolutely love the guy. I follow him on social media. He's an attorney. He actually just wrote a book and he's like a master at how to because he's an attorney that does like negotiations and litigation and stuff. And he's a master at dealing with this kind of stuff. And so I picked up little tidbits from, you know, here and there from him. His
You got
name's,
to send it to me. I'd love to
I think it's
check that out.
Jackson or something. His book literally just came out. He got enough attention. He was just on the Mel Robbins podcast and
Oh, wow.
like, yeah, he's like big league. But one of the things he said, which I've really adopted, is when someone says something that's emotionally charged to you, whether they realize it or not, they're trying to get a rise out of you. So don't give them the rise. Simply repeat their own words so that they can hear what it is they said, so that you can move the conversation forward. So it's something like, oh, so it sounds like you hate all dentists, you know, and then you move from there. So you're literally repeating their own words. And in certain cases, when he's talking about like bullying and not a clinical kind of situation that, you know, is by and large mature to some degree, you know, if somebody's really trying to be mean, he'll literally just say, so you said I'm a baby. What were you looking to get out of saying that to me? Were you trying to hurt me? And I'm like, wow, because you're not giving into the emotion, you're staying in a more neutral place to the best of your ability, and you're basically throwing back to the other party exactly what it is they said. So, little side deviation there for everybody, but I think it's masterful and makes a lot
Well,
of sense.
I've seen really great communicators, and you do this because you are a great communicator. summarize what someone says to verify that they're understanding it correctly. So, like, if someone said something, it's kind of a long tangent, something or other, and then they stop. I've seen you do this, and I've seen other great communicators do this, where they'll say, "So, what I'm hearing is that
That's my coach
whatever."
training. That's my coach
Yeah.
training. Yeah.
And I think that's fantastic, especially for team members, for patients, right? Like, you have a patient that comes in and says, like, "So I went to my last dentist and they had to do a crown on this tooth, and then that crown ended up turning into a root canal. I had to go see the endodontist and they charged me $2,500 after I had already paid $1,500 for the crown. And then, like, 2 years later, I was biting on it and I heard some noise and then it started to hurt. And then I went back to the dentist and they had to take an x-ray and that was like another $100 or something. And then they had to take it out and they did an implant and then the implant failed. And I've just paid that, like, $5,000 for this one tooth, and I don't have anything to show for it." And so you may come to them and say, "So, Mrs. Jones, what I'm hearing is that you're unhappy with the previous work that's been done and the associated costs that you feel like you have nothing to show for it. Is that correct?"
And even in situations like that where somebody's confiding in you about a situation, we'll call it a saga, that wasn't that pleasant, and yet they're still in your chair. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll deviate to an appreciative place and I'll say, "Wow, you have absolutely been through a lot. I want to thank you for sharing that with me, and I want to thank you for being here today. It sounds like from what I just heard you say, you have put a lot of effort into your mouth. You've spent thousands of dollars, you have had multiple appointments, you've had multiple procedures, and here you are still seeking care to make your oral health better. What would be the most ideal visit outcome for you today?"
I love that you finished with that open-ended question. I mean, it's going back to this whole theme of today, which is like when there's crazy stuff happening around the world or in your practice, how can you continue on? And I think so much of it boils down to good communication, controlling your own emotions. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else. Those seem
And
like two of the main ones, right?
they are two of the main ones. And using methodology like Crucial Conversations, the book
Which
of
we
the same
teach in our
name,
Lightside Live.
which we teach in our
We
Light
teach in
Side
our Lightside
Live,
Live, May 9th and 10th.
or in my online course if you want to do it yourself, either way.
That's true.
But it's a methodology to get you out of the emotional state. And so that is a skill, and it does take time to learn, but I say this in all candor. If I've been able to conquer this stuff and be better for it, I know you can too. And there is a really great magical space that you create for yourself when you choose to interact in a factually based context, i.e., from the facts that are in front of you as you understand them, versus jumping into an assumptive, judgmental, or stressful place. There's a magic that happens when you choose to kind of stay above the din. Now, I want to say something really important. Are you always going to be this way? Hell no, right? And so there are things that happen that are very upsetting in life, and that's perfectly okay. Part of my certification in happiness studies was all about emotional whole being. And emotional whole being is not about ignoring the negativity, ignoring the shitty things that happen in our lives, excuse me. It's about going through and past those emotions and experiences. And the only way you can do that is by dealing with them, not suppressing or trying to ignore them. And so I want to make that point abundantly clear, because I am not somebody who's sitting here espousing toxic positivity, good vibes only. It's like, no. That's
Well,
not healthy either.
it makes me think of kind of what a lot of what we do in our life courses or our online courses is you can prevent certain stress, And the ones that you can't prevent, you have to know how to deal with it. So you have to know how to be resilient in that. One of those things is like kind of stoicism, but stoicism isn't not reacting. Stoicism is reacting in the correct way, I think. And so it's like there are stresses that you can avoid in your practice. There are. But there's some that will just always be there. In the practice of dentistry, when you have random humans coming in and you're working on an unpredictable area of the mouth, things are going to happen. And so you need to build the skills, the resilience on how to deal with those. Now, I didn't have any of those skills. My only skills that I had were clinical skills and somewhat like being friendly. I think I don't even want to say I had communication skills. I thought I had communication skills, but I think one of that was just I can relate to other people that I just meet. And that's a very like surface level skill that I think I've been able to harness from basically traveling around the world and meeting random people. But I didn't have communication skills. I thought I did.
You also had
And
height on your side. That bit of research is fascinating to me, but that's another topic. But
oh, yeah, well, I'll take what I can get.
not them saying that was the reason, so please don't misunderstand. I'm just saying that, I mean, it's a multitude of factors is my point, right?
Yes. But I think the biggest one that I didn't have and that I struggle with the most now, too, is controlling my own emotions.
It's and it's a challenge. And sometimes when I'm in a situation, or even if I observe one where other people are interacting and somebody just says something really nasty or something really inappropriate, what I do my best to do is be like, wow, that was really terrible. Like, what the hell's going on in their life that made them think it was okay to say these words or to do this action, et cetera. And it's an interesting habit I picked up, I guess you could say, because it helps pull me out of that emotional reactive space that I then get in, and it allows me to kind of almost view it like, remember those slow-mo scenes in The Matrix, like that's what I envision. It's like, all of a sudden I'm like, suspended midair and this like jump or something, and I'm like, whoa, and I'm like looking at everything around. But it's true. It's like, whoa, who burned their oatmeal this morning? Like, what the heck? So it's an interesting way to observe things, because that can then launch you into the next step, which is, okay, so I wonder what's really going on there right now. Let's deal with this in a different way versus like, lashing out.
Yeah, it's having that curiosity and then asking yourself the question, is there anything you can do about this?
And that kind of leads me into the next thought, which is this, because I see this in my coaching clients all the time, where you have a bad day and it's just like everything seems to be happening, and it's just like one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And life is not a game of dominoes. And so the fact that your assistant came in 30 minutes late sucks. The fact that your first patient yelled at you sucks. The fact that you now have a leak in your suction sucks. It all sucks. But literally, not in the case of the suction,
Not in the suction.
but they're not connected. And so you can make a choice to say, gosh darn it, this day sucks. This went wrong. This went wrong. This went wrong. Rah, 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 rah. Or you can make a choice, as semantical and silly as it seems, to be like, you know what? But I really had a nice, moment with my spouse this morning when we got up. I really enjoyed my coffee. I made it to the office in record time today. Like, they are just as valuable, but we programmed ourselves to focus on the negative stuff. So again, the choice becomes yours, what it is you want to focus on. Do you want to focus on all the crap, or do you want to focus on the good stuff that is in your life too?
I was thinking about this yesterday when I was thinking about the negative comments that I get. You know, I get I say I usually send them to Martin because some of them are kind of funny. But I have a screenshot of really nice positive things that people say to me. And I usually take a screenshot of the negative things that people say to me too. And so I have this folder on my phone of screenshots. Now, if you looked at the positive versus the negative, there's way more positive. However, I see those, it makes my day, and I go on with my day, it, like, makes me feel good. The negative ones can affect you for longer. Isn't that
Oh,
funny how that is?
totally.
And the negative ones are not nearly as, I don't see them as often as I get a positive one. But those are the ones that we tend to focus on.
And it's just the human condition. It's kind of what we do, right? And so,
Well, it's like our patients, and you've said this before too, is you see 15 patients and all of them are kind of okay, right? Nothing, they don't get up and hug you and say, "Oh my God, you're the best dentist in the world and I love you," and, "Oh my gosh, I can't imagine going anywhere else." But they're okay and they're happy with what they did and they pay their bills. But then you have one asshole that day that tells you they hate the dentist, can't sit back. Loves to call you by your first name for some reason, which some people don't care about, but I just think it's kind of inappropriate at certain times. They don't want to pay, they'd write you a negative review, and that's what we're going to focus on, right?
Totally. I try to remember who said this to me. It might have been Steve Anderson of all people. Where, when you come home, one of the first things to say to your significant other is, "What was one of the best things that happened to you today?" And it just sets a different tone.
Yeah, we do that with my son often. I think my wife saw this probably on a reel or something, is instead of saying, "How was your day?" you say, "Tell me one of the best things that happened," or, "Tell me one of your favorite things that you did at school," right? It's still not easy to get the answer out of him, but
But
it's
that's
a better way
okay.
of framing it for sure.
It's building a different habit, right? Because in our society, particularly, I was thinking about this the other day. I was doing a walk in my neighborhood because it's nice this time of year, and I was passing by a neighbor, and I said, "Hey, how are you? Good. How are you?" And we keep walking, and I was thinking about, it's like we say, "How are you?" But we're not expecting an answer,
No.
right? So asking what was the best part of your day requires an answer, right?
I like that. Why don't you summarize what we talked about today? What this whole discussion was about, why it's important.
So there's only certain, there's a limited amount of things that we can actually control. And if we end up focusing on all the things that we cannot control, that can spin us out of control. So we have to make a choice as to not only how we will respond, but also our diet. So whether that's a diet of social media, whether that's diet of negative or positive people in our lives, or even team members. Now, granted, that's another discussion about how to have those discussions, but we have to control our diet to some extent. And then we have to learn, if we choose to, how to actually engage with the negativity that comes our way when it does, to understand that our thoughts drive emotions that create actions or inaction that manifest results, to understand that when we get a spontaneous judgmental thought or a spontaneous negative emotion or a knee-jerk action, that we need to realize what it is we did and notice it, take a deep breath, commit to a different outcome or statement, and then act upon that commitment that's between our ears. So really today was about choosing to control what it is that you are doing within your life, while at the same time understanding that you're not in control with the world around you necessarily. So, as we said toward the beginning, do we want to focus on the world reality or our practice reality, i.e., what's going on between our four walls?
I love that. I think that was a great summary of everything today. I think the biggest one for me, when I think about everything that you talked about, the biggest one for me is stopping and having the conversation with yourself. Is this something that I can impact? And if it's not, trying to forget about it. I think the second one for me is focusing on and just knowing that you can control your own thoughts. It's a hard one, but it's possible. I've done it. Martin's done it. We still struggle with it, of course. It's not 100%, but it's way better than it was, and it has improved our lives because of this.
Totally.
So we go deeper into a lot of these topics in our Lightside Live course, which is happening May 9th and 10th in Irvine, California. You can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on our links, and you'll see the link for that, and go sign up. We've got a great group so far, and it's going to get even better. We do have a yacht party too. So if you've never been on like a 100-foot or 120-foot yacht, come hang on Mr. Glidewell's yacht, and we will have food and drinks and music, and it's really just a beautiful time around the Newport Harbor in Southern California. You're 20 minutes away from Disneyland. You're 20 minutes away from the best beaches on the West Coast. So come join us. You get 12 CE credits, and we'd love to see you there in person at Lightside Live. And we will see you on the next episode of Wellness in Dentistry. See you later.
Bye-bye.